All right. Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, talks about seven people groups, and it mentions them. And each of these people groups are long gone. However, the spirit that operated in them is still here and still functioning. Now, in verse 2, it tells us and told Israel what to do with these people or these spirits. You make no compromises with them. You make no treaties with them. You do nothing to abate and abet them. It basically says get rid of them. Now, we're in that sixth one. If you read your Bibles and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we're at the six ones, the Hivites. And I want you to see something here because I'm going to give something to you in a few minutes. I'm telling you, that's going to blow your mind. All right? It's going to blow your mind. Your mind's going to go woof. All right? Now, let's look at that spirit by looking at what it means. That's what we do. We look at the words, the root words, and what's going on, and we apply them to the Word of God. Now, Hivite means villagers who live in tents. And it also means perimeter, belong to a village. It means boundary. I've lived in villages before, tiny towns. And the village had kind of a small area, and then it had a boundary around it. It's called a village. And it actually means, this Hivite means belong to a village. Now, we're going to apply it. We're going to apply this because you're going to see something here that you're going to buckle your belt on. All right? Get your belt out and get ready to buckle it. Now, if you apply the name of this people group, which is a demonic spirit, you'll notice that it limits vision of life. It's designed, the spirit is designed to limit vision of life. It just limits it. Now, when you go to Genesis chapter 3, familiar portion of scripture, right? Here we are. You know this. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Right? She was the mother of all living. Look at the word, the original title or name of the first woman was Eve. We all know that. But do you know, if you look at that word Eve, it opens up a world for you that you need to know now. See, this spirit, this Hivites love to live it up. They're party. They just love to live. They're all kinds. Yeah. Well, let's have fun. Now, if you look at that word, go ahead and look it up. Please do. Even all the lexicons and the concordances, and go back to the basic beginning of the word, you're going to find an interesting thought. If you take that word, that group, Hivites, and look it up, and be honest with this, as you look through all of the definitions, you know what you're going to find? The word Eve. The word Eve. Yeah, shocking, isn't it? Hivites, Eve. Now, if you continue to look, this is so outstanding. You find the basic word serpent. Serpent, Eve, Hivite. Live it up. hey, Eve, you're missing something here. You're missing something, Eve. Hey, Eve. Hey, Eve. Now, watch this. If you turn the page to Genesis 4 and look at verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, we understand that, and she conceived, all right? And bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know what the word Cain means? Cain means the word possession. Possession gotten from the Lord. Possession is inheritance from another. Now, the Hivite people who acquired some land, because you read that in Deuteronomy 7, they actually lived in the land, that they lived in small tented villages, and they partied all the time. They were the partiers of the ancients. They partied, living in the tents, have fun. Think about this. Think about the serpent. Think about the name Eve. Connect the name Eve to the serpent, to the Hivites. It's exactly right. Exactly right. Hey, Eve, God's holding out from you. Hey, Eve. And the word study, the word etymology goes back, Eve, Hivites, serpent, fun, tent. And that's what this spirit does. It enjoys the partying time. And it enjoys wealth and travel, good time, and fun. So everywhere this group went in the ancient times in Deuteronomy, everywhere they went, they traveled, they had fun, they had a good time, they had fame, they partied all the time, they just enjoyed life. That's what the serpent said to Eve. Hey, Eve, God is holding out on you. Hey, Eve. He's holding out on you. You're missing all this good stuff. Oh, you got just wandering around in this garden that's 3,000 miles long and 2,000 miles wide. That's how big the Garden of Eden was. Not this little tiny, you know, like your tomato garden in the back of your house. I think it was 3,000 miles by 2,000 miles. It was the entire Mideast region. That's right, because all these people lived in those regions. Okay, now, something's happening, Eve. That's the party spirit you're seeing. Hey, go out and have fun. What? Serving God, please. Serving God? Why would you do that? Go. What? Tell me. You go to church. What do you do? What? That's what we see, don't we? That's what we see. And this spirit has an interesting personality. I'll tell you about it right now. Luke chapter 12. Okay, watch this. Jesus speaking, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. All right, that's when they're brought upon the councils and all. Look at this. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. 17. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? 18. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then 21, he said, of course, so he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now look at this. This spirit, that's the spirit that's right there. It's right there. It's the inheritance. It's the possession. Is I gotta have. Because it goes back to what your life is more than what you have. Now, this spirit says, go ahead and have fun and enjoy life. That's what happened in this passage. Go ahead. You deserve it. Go ahead and have your fun. Go ahead. See, in verse 18, he said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing wrong with enterprising. Nothing wrong with expansion. Nothing wrong with being blessed, but here was the problem. 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to have fun forever, forever. Now, this is how this spirit works. It says, go ahead and possess it. Yeah, Eve, eat that fruit. Go ahead, possess it. Possess the knowledge that you don't have. Possess what God is holding back from you. Possess that which the Lord has forbid you to possess. Good. It's okay, Eve. You shall be like God, small g. Go ahead. Go ahead. So 3,000 miles long and 2,000 miles wide wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. So go ahead and possess it, Eve. Go ahead, sir. Build your barns. It's okay. But don't say, so you got it made, because that's out of your control. There's a book called Proverbs. You know that. Chapter 24, verse 30. It has an interesting thought here. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. Well, I looked upon it and received instruction. Now, nothing wrong with being a hardworking man, but here's a guy that somehow won't do anything. He won't do anything. See, this spirit will get you not to do anything. You're okay. Have fun. Party all night. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to raise a family. Just go drinking with your buddies. That's what you do. Just go ahead and smoke your marijuana. Shoot up. That's what you do. Take your cocaine and sniff it into your nostrils and just have a ball. And what happens is you see the result of that. You see what happens to these people that are addicts, that shoot the heroin and cocaine. They become what? Slothful. They do nothing. They're in the streets. They don't do a thing. That's his passage. I went to the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. They don't really know what's going on. And everything was grew up with thorns and nettles, and the stone walls are broken down, and the fences don't work, and there they are. There they are. That's a spirit that drives them in the party spirit of the Hivites, and that's what they do. See, when you look at, again, let's go back to Luke chapter number 12 and look at verse 19. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Thou take thy ease, eat, drink, and have fun. That's what you need to do. Just have fun. 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. Self-centeredness. The universe exists to serve them. Serve them. I remember one time a lady in a church somewhere, someplace. And she said, you know, my husband's an alcoholic. And I said, yeah, I know. And she said, know what he tells me to do? I said, no telling. She said, on the weekend, he brings home all this beer. And he starts drinking the moment he steps into the house. And he drinks all night long, all Saturday. Just one after another. He lays drunk all the time. The yard is about 6 foot of weeds. And I remember that going by there and going seeing them. It looked like a, you know, jungle out in the yard. It's amazing. Him and his three sons would take the beer cans and they go out drinking. And they throw them in the yard, and there was a giant pile of aluminum beer cans in the yard. And they have a fire, and they sit around the fire, and they drink all weekend long. Then she said this. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, well. Then she says this, know what my husband wants from me? I said, no. She says, when they run out of beer, they want me to go to the store and buy them cases and cases and cases of beer, make sure they're cold, bring them back, and I get them. She says, I feel so bad. I said, are you a person that's enabling your husband to stay drunk? Or equipping your husband to get better? Are you an enabler or an equipper? By the way, God's called us as Christians to be an equipper, not an enabler. We're in equippers. I said, you make up your mind what type of wife you want to become and be. Got grown sons, and you've been doing this for I don't know how long. What are you going to do about it? She finally said to her husband, I'm not getting you any more beer. I can't stop you from drinking it, but if you want it, you're going to have to go and come home. Coming home with it when you get off of work on Friday. You have to have a trunk full of your cases. I'm not going to get that. And know what that did? That started that man on recovery. And here's what happened. That man decided that he did not want to drink anymore. Stopped drinking, started going to church, got filled with the Spirit of God, and become the Sunday school superintendent of that congregation over a period of years. That broke the back of this spirit. Broke the back of this spirit. And this spirit will keep a centered life, self-centered. But here's what happens when you begin to let grace and blessings fight against the selfish life, when it turns into a selfless life, God becomes premier and he becomes the power of your life, and that spirit will just go. Just go. See, because God must sit upon the throne of your heart. Let me do, there's so many places here. Let me just do one more scripture. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Okay? James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Look at this. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Question. Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Question. You lust and you have not. Ye kill and you desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And when you do ask, verse 3, you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may be consumed upon your lust. That's self-centeredness. And then in verse 4, he calls them adulterer and adulteresses, knowing not that friendship of the word is enmity with God. There's more definition with adulterers and adulteresses than going out and having ungodly relationships in the physical realm. Much more, much wider scale. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Look at this. 6, but he given more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In this context, what part of the devil is going to run from you? Just general devil? No. The Hivites, that spirit will run from you. You resist that spirit, it'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What's double-mindedness? See how all this works together? See how this works together? See what's going on? Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And he gives grace. He gives grace when you humble yourselves and you submit to God's perfect will and you go close. So basically, verse 8, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. You draw near unto God. You pull God toward you. That's what drawing near means. You take the Lord and you pull him toward you. You grab hold of him. The word study tells us that. You go in and you pull the Lord close to you. That's what you do. That's what you do. And you say to yourself, notice, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse yours. It doesn't talk about God doing it. It talks about you doing it. Purify your hearts. That's what you do. You say, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Now, that man I mentioned a moment ago, he did that. He came because his wife would not be an enabler. She became an equipper. And she said, I will not do that again for you. I'm not going to sit here all weekend and have you and my two sons sit in the yard and pile up 1,000 beer cans. I mean, it was a mess. It was a mountain of beer cans. They just throw them out. Drink one, throw it out, drink one. For hours and hours. I don't know how they function on Monday when they all went back to work. I don't know how they did. But they sat there when they come home on Friday night, Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday, one beer after another. They drink one, open one. They were chronic alcoholics is what they were. And that spirit in operation until that little lady said, enough of this. Enough of this. Enough of this. Enough of this. It's time to tear down the spirit that is so destructive in people's lives. And whoever's listening right now, be, I'm going to say it one more time, be a neighbor, never be an encourager and an equipper.